Turning your Bibles to the book of Psalms, where we've been for some weeks. I still feel led to stay there a little while. And look to Psalm 123. Psalm 123, a song of degrees. That means ascending, going up. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look upon the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. The wonderful Dutch Christian lady that many of you would know about her, Corrie ten Boom, who spent some years during World War II in a German concentration camp, came out alive. Her sister died in the concentration camp. But this was Corrie's poem. Look around you, be distressed. Look within you, be depressed. Look to Jesus, be at rest. And I think that is the point of this brief Psalm 123. Now, the psalmist and his people are filled with contempt. They're looked down on, to say the least. They are under the cruel power of the enemies of God, who are therefore their enemies. But like the penitent thief who was dying on the cross, they can still look to the right place. And no matter what situation you get into, you can do the same. Look to the right place. Look up. You may have gotten nowhere by looking to self. Others may have failed you that you were counting on, and they let you down. But you can choose to look up even when you've been severely disappointed. Now, that's what the psalmist did, as we see here in Psalm 1, 2, 3. In the world of human work and service, the psalmist saw how servants in need looked to the hands of their masters. They'd stand at the end of the hall, and there their master would be, his hands out in front. And they looked at the master's hands. Now, that's saying something. It was their way of calling for mercy, just looking to his hands. That's how they did it in that culture. And God saw it. God still sees when, in a certain sense, spiritually, realm of faith, you're looking to his hands to move. He knows. John Newton wrote this hymn. Some of you know it. Approach my soul, the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall beneath his feet, for none can perish there. Now, in your ordinary human life, day by day, it is possible that you might get into an experience where you lose your human life. You probably won't, but you might. Many have done so on the mission field. But you can never lose your soul. That's something you'll never lose. Whatever evil powers may do to your body, your soul is safe forever with God. It'd take a power greater than God to get at your soul, and there's no such power. Now, in the providence of God, a certain number of saints from time to time lose their physical life in His service. History shows us that. It's no doubt happening today in one place or another. But they're all right with that. The saints are all right with that. For they know that God will safely get them through the gates of death into the house of their Heavenly Father, where all will be just right. They know that. If God calls you to a particular country or tribe, you don't ever need to ask, is this place safe? For you're always ultimately safe in the presence of God. And when He calls you, He'll be present. Another hymn that some of you might know, I remember it from childhood. Under His wings, I am safely abiding. That's all you and I need to know. I can remember one of my great aunts had a hen that was old, and she had given care to many, many broods of biddies. And I remember how she would stand in a big thunderstorm. There was a chimney at our old family place, the Blue Place in Moore County, and the bottom part was made of stones and then bricks on top of that. And she would stand with her wings spread out in that thunderstorm, and her little biddies would get under those wings, and she covered them, and she protected them. Under His wings, I am safely abiding. Psalm 102:17. Psalm 102:17 says that God will not despise the cry of the destitute. Destitute means very bad trouble indeed, where you not able to take care of yourself. What you can do is simply call out to God. That's all. And He will enter the situation as He sees best. We can't predict exactly what He'll do. But He does say, you can call out to Me. No powers of evil can ever cut you off completely from God. That's not in their remit. They can't do it. They would love to do it. They can't do it. Sometimes God's providence may allow them to take your physical life, but your soul is always safely in the hands of God. Philippians 4:19 promises that God will supply all the needs of His saints according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We can reverently say that your exigency is another opportunity for God to honor His Son. by supplying exactly what you need through Christ. When you're praying to the Father through the Son, one of the things you're asking him to do is to honor his Son in the provision of this thing insofar as it is in his will for you. Sometimes it may be giving a Christian the courage to die for him. Many have. And they're satisfied with that. If they know it's their Father's will, it's fine. Or sometimes he may deliver them to serve him further. And they're all right with that. They're glad to leave the choice in the hands of the Heavenly Father. A little poem says, "He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth shall dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice with him." That's the key. Leave the choice of what happens to you and how long you'll be here. It's not for you to worry about. Leave the choice to your Heavenly Father, and it will be just right. Along those lines, at times, I wonder how many believers are being killed each day in China. We know that China has at least 100 million true believers, probably more. It must be very frustrating for the powerful Chinese government, so hostile to the Lord, that so many of their population are coming over to believe in Jesus and they are powerless to stop it. That's the what population statistics show us to be the case. And sometimes they kill the believers in China, as in other places. But the believers are not the losers. Say they killed them, they lost. No, they didn't. They go straight to heaven, to their Father's home. And his old saint, well, no, I don't think they call him Saint Tertullian. I guess he was a saint. He was a difficult person, but a believer. Tertullian said long ago, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." If the world lasts long enough, I can't judge that, we will see large numbers of believers raised up, of people being saved in the very countries where so many Christians were put to death. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church in the future. That's how it works. Those who are killed for the Lord would surely say with the psalmist, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." They're not feeling sorry for themselves. They're too full of praise. God is being magnified and the church is spreading. And believe it or not, they're glad that their own blood can be part of this amazing work. They're too full of praise to feel sorry for themselves. Those are being killed for Jesus. I was, many years ago, told of a respected church lady in North Carolina. I didn't know her personally, but I knew about the situation. And she would go into bouts of weeping when some of her grown children came home from the mission field, for they were serving in a dangerous country. And she would go into terrible weeping when she saw them come into the house. Now, I don't mean to sound unsympathetic, but someone should have advised this good woman to memorize Psalm 123 and the latter verses of Romans 8. I feel that those verses, Psalm 123 and the latter part of Romans 8, would have strengthened this woman to say with Jesus, "Thy will be done." And then to be strong for her children. God wants us to be strong in the test of life. And He is willing to send down His Holy Spirit to make us strong. Not to live in weakness, not to live in grief, not to live in fear. But to be strong in the power of the Lord and in His might, as St. Paul says. What a wonderful verse is Psalm 123, verse 2. Psalm 123, verse 2. "Behold, as the eyes of a servant look into the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that He have mercy upon us." And that indicates it takes some time. You may not have, you might say, and you're being honest, "I don't exactly feel the power right now, the faith right now, the strength right now to be looking to God in this way in times of grief. What I feel like doing is grieving." No, but it's not wrong to grieve. God didn't tell you it was wrong to grieve. Jesus wept. But He also looked to His Father. And you can look to your Heavenly Father. As the Psalm says, "Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy cometh in the morning." This particular psalm shows people hating the righteous and wishing them harm. But in the midst of that, they can still look up to God. You can do that. The devil cannot keep you from doing so. Say some people don't like me. I know that, or at least I know it might be the case. They cannot keep you from looking up to God. The devil himself cannot keep you from looking up to God. By faith, we can rise above all the scorning of an unbelieving and God-hating world. You could begin to describe some elements of the media, which obviously are against everything our forefathers stood for and that we stand for as Christians. Yes, they have great power. But that's not going to keep us from looking up. Look up, look up. The media, for all their pride, and I don't doubt their power in politics and so forth, and general culture, they are not able to stop you from looking up to your Heavenly Father. And that's what will make the difference. You might say, "I can't get to the media. I don't have any influence. I don't have any power." I know that. But you can look up to God, your Heavenly Father, who has all power. And when He gets in it, things will happen that He has chosen to happen. In prayer, we don't always get exactly what it was we were hoping. Sometimes you do, but sometimes not. He may say, "I want you to keep trusting me a while. I want you to feel uncomfortable for a while because that's going to push your look upward. And you'll never be sorry when things turn out as God will have them turn out, that you're looking up to your Heavenly Father. You won't be sorry. Think of it this way. If the contempt of unbelievers against us is necessary for a number of them to behold the grace of God in our experience, we'll be happy enough for that. Did you know that it's the case, and I don't have an explanation for it, and I don't know who, when, or what, or how, but I do believe the Bible indicates it's the case that sometimes God wants us to go through very hard things. Not that He doesn't love you. He loves you next to His own heart. Sent His Son to die for you. God loves you. But He has honored you with an honor you and I wouldn't choose, of course. For us to go through hard times on occasion, He'll keep it from being too hard, so that we can triumph in bad times. And others will be watching. And they wouldn't believe that somebody could triumph in bad times unless it were you. You say, I'd rather the Lord choose somebody else. That's not your business. He may choose you because He's got certain ones that you didn't even know were looking, and they're looking on. And if that is what it takes for them to behold the grace of God and to be touched by it and to be changed, no doubt you will be happy enough for that. And so Psalm 123:2 is one to take home with you. Behold, as the eyes of a servant look unto the hand of their master, and the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us. And so just remember, when you feel like God didn't move in as quickly as you had asked Him to, and you wonder why you're being kept in hot water, as it were, or in the dark room, a dark closet. He hadn't let you out yet. You're still talking to Him, but He hadn't let you out yet. Either the hot water or the dark closet. Just remember, He wants to touch some other people that are looking to you. And He knows who they are. And you're not in this thing to show off. That's the last thing you're concerned for. You want to survive. You want it to change. All right? So you're calling out to your Heavenly Father. And He is using that from time to time to get the attention of others and say, so-and-so, look at him, look at her. I sustain them. And they see you triumph through it. And then they say, you know, I believe that God, if He helped him or her, he and she are not all that wonderful as far as I know, but they're believers, but I don't think they're that great. All right, but God helped them. And then they'll believe. God could help you. We have to be available to God because He is simply the judge of whether there are some folks who will only be touched as we have endured a bad situation and have come out of it on the other side praising the Lord. They'll be touched. they didn't expect it from you. Maybe you didn't expect it from you, but God gives you in the Holy Spirit a secret strength to make it, and not only to get you through it, but to take some other people with you who will forever be different. And so God says, I want you to say to me, Lord, I'm available. I don't know what it is you would wish to do, but I'm available for whatever you want to do. Say that to him. He'll hear it. Don't say it if you don't mean it. But you and I should mean it, because he loves us more than anything else, next to his own beloved son. And so we can say with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, thy will be done, and it will be done in your life. You'll be blessed some way as you get through it. And wonderfully, someone or some other people will also be blessed following in your train. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.